are the three things we must cling to as Christians in this lost world?
A martyr was dying in the flames. They were burning him for his faith in Christ. And this is what he said: "Farewell, all the world. Farewell, faith. Farewell, hope. Welcome, love. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love."
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the timeless teaching of pastor and author Adrian Rogers. We are fast approaching a loveless world. In our mechanical society, it's clearer now more than ever that faith, hope, and real love is what we lack. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul shared three observations about love and why it's exceedingly valuable in our lawless age. If you have your Bible, turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as Adrian Rogers shares more about real love.
1 Corinthians chapter 13. Would you take your Bibles and open to this marvelous chapter? Now, if you've been a Christian for any time at all, surely you know, or ought to know, that this is one of the best known, best loved chapters in all of the Bible. And in any language or in any literature, nothing has been more beautifully written nor more meaningfully written than this beautiful ode or poem to love, written by the Apostle Paul to a church that needed more unity. Someone said, "It is love that makes the world go round." Someone else said, "Well, whether it does or not, it makes the trip worthwhile." And indeed it does. How would you like to live in a loveless world? And yet we're fast approaching that kind of a world. Do you know what Jesus prophesied of the end days? The Lord Jesus said, "Because in the last days iniquity shall abound," and the word iniquity literally means lawlessness, "because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Do you find that true today? Do you find that because there's so much lawlessness that you're afraid to stop at the highway and pick up somebody? Are you afraid to entertain a stranger in your home, to show hospitality, and you're just afraid to extend yourself or give yourself because you don't know what's going to happen? Now, Paul's ode and poem to love, I think, falls into three natural divisions. I think, first of all, he tells us that love excels. And then I think he tells us that love enables. And then I think he tells us that love endures. Now, first of all, he talks to us about how love excels all other things. For example, he says, "Love excels oratory." Look at it. "But though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now, the world has heard enough loveless sermons. The world has heard enough loveless lectures. And Paul said, if you could speak like an angel, what good is it if you don't have love? Now, we have some people today who are putting a great emphasis upon speaking in tongues, what they call speaking in tongues. I believe there's a biblical gift of speaking in tongues, but I believe that 99.44% of what is called tongue speaking today is not the biblical gift. Now, this is not to say there is not a biblical gift, but there is a satanic counterfeit around in the world today. But let me tell you something about tongue speaking, friend. Tongue speaking is not a sign that you're filled with love. The sign that you're filled with love is not that you can speak in many tongues, but that you can control the one tongue that you have. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." Here was a church that was making much of the gift of speaking in tongues, at least what they call speaking in tongues. But it was a church that was horribly fractured and divided. And that's Paul was talking to these people. Paul is saying, don't you come around here talking about your spiritual gifts if you're not loving one another. And he's saying here that love exceeds oratory. And then he says in verse 2 that love exceeds prophecy. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith and so forth, and have not love, I am nothing. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is the ability to speak theological truth in such a way, a concise and forthright way, that it moves and impels and encourages people. It exhorts them, it edifies them. But suppose a man has the gift of prophecy and he doesn't have love. Suppose he can split a theological hair into 16 equal divisions. Suppose he has heaven on his tongue, but hell in his heart. What good is it, Paul says? He says love is more valuable than oratory, more valuable than prophecy, and love exceeds knowledge. Look again in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. You see, what Paul is saying is that a right heart is more important than a bright head. Now, he's not saying that you ought not to have oratory. He's certainly not against prophecy. And he indeed is not against knowledge. We ought to have knowledge. But knowledge without love is a hurtful thing. I don't know who first said this, but it is exceedingly true. People will not care how much we know until they know how much we care. What people are looking for in this day and age, and rightfully so, is love. A little boy was reading in the Bible, and he saw some pictures and some listings of angels, and he read there about the cherubim and the seraphim. And so he asked his daddy, "Daddy, what is the difference between the cherubim and the seraphim?" Suppose your little boy asked you that question, Daddy, would you know? Well, this daddy didn't know, but he said, "Well, son, we'll look it up." And so he got down some encyclopedias and so forth, and he tried to look up and see what was the difference between the seraphs and the cherubs. And he found out that cherubim comes from a Hebrew word that means knowledge. And seraphim comes from a Hebrew word which means that stood for flame. And then this explanation went on to say that it was commonly believed or supposed that the cherubs, therefore, were angels that excelled in knowledge, and the seraphs were angels that excelled in love. And the little boy thought about that, and then this is what he said to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, when I die, I will be a seraphim. I'd rather love God than know everything." It's pretty good. Oh, friend, love excels knowledge. And then he goes on to say that love excels faith in verse 2. He says, "And though I have all faith and have not love, I am nothing." Now, faith is wonderful. Without faith, you can't be saved. But what Paul is saying is, if you have enough faith so that you can remove mountains, and yet you can't remove malice, what good is it? I mean, if your heart is headquarters for hate, so that you could remove mountains. Really, you would not be able to remove mountains with that kind of hate in your heart, but even if you could and you didn't have love, Paul is using the hypothetical, what good would it be? You see, love excels oratory. Love excels prophecy. Love excels knowledge. Love excels faith. Love excels what we call today charity. Look, if you will, in verse 3. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." You say, well, a man wouldn't do that if he didn't have love. Oh, yes, he would. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Do you know why some people give? A guilty conscience. Some people give instead of themselves rather than giving of themselves. And sometimes it's cleaner and neater to write a check, to give some cast-off things and so forth, rather than to give ourselves. Do you know what this world needs? Not more money. Well, they'd be glad to take it. And I'm not saying that we ought not to give it. But that's not primarily what they need. It's one thing to give a starving man a fish. It's a better thing to teach him how to fish. Amen? That's what a world needs. A world needs some people who will say, "Here, I will give of myself unto you. And though I give my goods, I bestow my goods to the poor and all of these things and have not love, it's nothing." Love excels charity. And then he goes on to say that love excels martyrdom. Look, if you will, in verse 3. "And though I give my body to be burned and have not love." You say, well, do loveless people become martyrs? Yes, they do. Did you know the false cults have their martyrs? You think of Jim Jones and the Ghost of Guyana. All of those people who died there and others who have died for causes that were not loving causes. You see, a man may not fear dying because he doesn't know what living is. There's some people who are so filled with hate, for them to die in order to kill somebody else would be an honor. "Though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." So, you got it? You got it big, you got it plain, you got it straight. Love excels. Love excels. It's greater than all of these other things, and all the rest of these things, good as they are meaningless without love. Secondly, not only does love excel, but love enables. The things that we need to do, we ought to do, we want to do, we can only do through love. For example, love enables you to be patient. Look, if you will, in verse 4, "Love suffereth long." Now, we hear people say love is blind, but love isn't blind. Love sees more. It really sees. Love forgives 70 times 7. Love does not give to a person what they deserve. It gives to a person what they need. Love enables us to be patient. Love enables us to be kind. Look again in verse 4. Love is kind. One woman was converted. She joined a church, made a profession of faith in Christ. She was talking with a minister later. And he said, "I'm always interested to know what brings people to Christ. And if there was anything in the sermon that particularly moved your heart toward Christ, I'd like to know what it was." She said, "To tell you the truth, though I enjoyed your sermons very much, it was not anything in particular that you said in the sermon." She said, "It was what happened after the sermon." She said, "I saw a woman come up and criticize you sharply and unfairly to your face." And she said, "I wasn't a Christian and I just watched you. I wanted to see what your reaction would be." And she said, "When I saw the kindness that came out of your mouth, I knew what you had was real." Kindness. And that kind of love is going to win people to Jesus Christ. Look again in verse 4. "Love vaunteth not itself." Let me tell you something. Did you know that love and pride don't dwell in the same heart? You can't do that. You see, dear friend, you can be big-headed or you can be big-hearted, but you can't be both. Love doesn't vaunt itself. Do you know why people don't get along? Do you know what causes so many arguments? Well, you say a lot of things. No, only one thing. Oh, no, preacher. Lots of things. No, only one thing. You know what the scripture says? Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. The contention that we have is ego against ego. There are no problems too big to solve, just people too small to solve them. People who are big-headed rather than big-hearted. Love doesn't vaunt itself. Have you ever heard a person stand up in a church, and if you've been in a smaller church where they have a different kind of business meeting than we have, stand up and say, "I know my rights"? I want to ask you a question. What rights does a dead man have? Somebody who's been crucified with Christ, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You see, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. And so love enables you to be humble. Jonathan Edwards was one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. And Jonathan Edwards said some tremendous words. Listen to them. "Nothing sets a man so much out of the devil's reach as humility." Let that soak in. Nothing sets a man so much out of the devil's reach as humility. But not only does love enable you to be humble, but right on the heels of that, love enables you to be courteous. Look, if you will, in verse 5. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Do you know what that means? Roughly translated, it means love is courteous. To be unseemly is to be discourteous. You know what courtesy is? Love in little things. Love that says please. Love that says thank you. Love that steps back and gives the other first place. Now, listen. We can talk about love in great, flowering, swelling words, but you know your home would be a whole lot sweeter place. The place where you work and the place where you worship, if we learn just to be courteous. Now, love enables you, dear friend, to be courteous. Right along with that, unselfish. Look again in verse 5, if you will. Love seeketh not her own. I believe it was Bill Gothard who said, when you teach people their rights, you have a revolution. When you teach people their responsibilities, you have a revival. Don't you think it's time that we started putting an emphasis upon our responsibilities to other people? Love seeketh not her own. You see, love enables us to be unselfish. Love enables us not to be irritable. If you've got a temper like a shotgun with a hair trigger, you better start loading up on love. Temper is something you never lose by losing it. Next, love enables you to be forgiving. Love enables you to forgive because the Bible says, love thinketh no evil. Now this word here, thinketh no evil, literally is a bookkeeping term. And what it really means is that love does not store up grudges. Love doesn't keep books. Are you a bookkeeper? Somebody does something to you and you say, I owe you one for that. I'll get you. You wait. Time is coming. Love doesn't keep an account. Love learns to drown insults in a river of love. It learns to forget those things, and they're gone behind. Love thinketh no evil. It does not collect grudges. Love enables us to forgive. Love enables us to be sympathetic. Look in verse 6. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love is never glad about injustice. Love doesn't listen to gossip. And before you let anybody tell you something bad about somebody else, you make it pass through those three golden gates. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in truth. Now, love enables you to live that way. And friend, you can't live that way without that kind of love. And you don't have that kind of love to give. I don't either. Thank God the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Not only does love excel, and not only does love enable, but love endures. Read verses 7 and 8. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. There are a lot of things that don't endure. You see, love conquers, according to verses 7 and 8. What a mighty force is love. You know how to get rid of an enemy? Love him to death. The way to get rid of an enemy is make a friend out of him. Love conquers. But not only does love conquer, love completes. Verses 8 and following. Love never fails. Prophecy is going to fail. Tongues, they're going to cease. Knowledge, it's going to vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, listen to this verse,
I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, you know what he's saying is, compared to love, everything else is kid stuff. I mean, just kid stuff without love. Now, what he's saying is that prophecy and tongues and knowledge are going to pass away. And you stand one day before the Lord, he's going to say, why should I let you into my heaven? You're going to say, well, I prophesied. He's going to say, cease from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You're going to say, I was a philosopher, I had knowledge. He's going to say, knowledge shall pass away, depart from me, I never knew you. You're going to say, well, I was an orator and I spoke in tongues. He's going to say, tongues shall cease. Depart from me, I never knew you. But if you say, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and therefore I was filled with the love of God, I'm a Christian, I love the Savior, I love thee, my Lord, I love my fellow man, he's going to say, come thou blessed of the Lord, enter into the joys of his kingdom. Love conquers, love completes, and here's the thing, love continues. Verses 12 through 13, and now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now notice, faith, hope, and love. But you see, one day, and oh Lord, haste the day, one day faith is going to turn to sight. Do you know what St. Augustine said? Augustine said, Lord, thou hast declared that no man shall see thy face and live. Then he said, Lord, let me die that I may see thee. Amen. Oh, but when we do see him, then that faith turns to sight. Now we haven't seen him, but we love him. But one day we will see him. And so when faith turns to sight, what need is faith anymore? And hope is going to turn to reality. So there won't be any need for hope anymore. But love will go on and on and on. Love continues. A martyr was dying in the flames. They were burning him for his faith in Christ. And this is what he said. Farewell, all the world. Farewell, faith. Farewell, hope. Welcome, love. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
Today, as you've listened, maybe you have questions swirling about who Jesus is or what he means to you, how to begin a relationship with God through Christ. Go to our Find God's Love page at the website, and you'll discover resources and materials that will answer questions you may have about your faith. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab at the top that says Find God's Love. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Real Love, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Are you filled with real love, which excels all other virtues and enables the fruit of the Spirit, as well as endures all things? Thank you for studying with us in God's Word today. Tune in next time for more from Adrian Rogers, right here on Love Worth Finding. We received a note from a listener not long ago that said this: thank you for your very clear biblical teaching. You're always so clear and easy to understand, and sometimes difficult to apply. You know, at Love Worth Finding, our goal is to draw people to Christ and help believers grow deeper in their faith. We do that by airing these messages and creating new tools and resources inspired by the timeless teaching of Pastor Rogers. To thank you for your gift right now, we'd love to send you our new Future for the Family Bible Study. Our society encourages everyone to embrace all different types of families, but be assured God created marriage himself. In this study, we are introduced to God's purpose and plan for the family as explained in Scripture. Request this resource when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. or give online at lwf.org/radio.